Toy Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where the focus is on linking businesses with crucial grassroots sports. And we are delighted to welcome to this podcast Simon Bilodus, who is a qualified youth and community work and life coach with over 25 years experience. As well as all that, he is one of our new members here at Koi Sports. So, Simon, welcome. How do you do?
Hi, we're here. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, I mean, a very wide, diverse kind of skill set that you've got there, Simon. I hate this to sound like a job interview, but if you could tell me a little bit about that experience and background, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. Yeah. So, as you kind of already said, I've been working with young people for a long time. You know, I've always loved engaging with young people, seeing the capacity to be able to embrace new ideas and to change and to see those who have kind of like been maybe earmarked as being troublesome and then engaging them in some really fun activities and seeing them grow and develop. And through that time, you know, I developed my skills and I became a manager. And then I kind of saw this was a chance for me to go out on my own, really, if you like. I've always had an interest in coaching and used coaching skills in kind of the work that I did, but I wanted to branch out, get qualified, and I've been building on that and adding more tools to my toolbox, if you like, because you come up with these new ideas and think, oh, I could use that to do this and I could use that to do that. So I'm really keen in motivation, so I've developed my skills as a motivational mapper. I've very keen in terms of communication, because a lot of the situations that young people get into is just about they're not being able to present or get the words out in the right way. So I've become an NLP practitioner, and that helps an awful lot with trying to getting people to focus on what they want to say and how they want to say it. And that's kind of where it got me to now. And I'm now working with a range of different people, young people and adults, mm-hmm. to help them grow in confidence, to improve their performance, yep. And on anything really that they want to move forward from in their life.
And really empowering there is, I think, the key kind of philosophy that underbeds that. I think you made a really fascinating point there about how, I guess, certain people get labelled. And I don't necessarily think, I was very fortunate. I was reasonably academically inclined and, you know, did reasonably well at school and so on and so forth. But I do feel as though I was incredibly lucky in that regard. And I genuinely believe, just a personal opinion, that an awful lot of the contemporary educational system is almost memorizing facts. And if you can do that, then you'll do well. I'm not necessarily sure that's dynamic enough. I guess just to give you an idea of how you can liberate individuals from a certain labeling that they may have experienced in the traditional academic scenario.
Well, I think the thing is, yeah, some people are really good at school. I have two different ways where I want to engage with people. So I have those ones who are too good at school, but they almost get too good at school. So they do school and they do everything right at school, and they go on and they do GCSEs, they do A levels, and you think, well, they carry on in education and they do well, and they go on, they do a degree and they do well in that degree, and they come out of it and go, well, what do I do now? And they kind of, well, this, oh, and they come. I know I've worked with people who've kind of come to the end of it and they've been thrashing around for 6 months thinking, what do I do now? And they really lack that direction because they've been in that structure, if you like. And when that's been taken away, they've really become a bit lost and they need somebody to, you know, just to get them back on track and find what that focus is. But the other side is those who perhaps disengage with education because, yeah, schools and educators are under a lot of pressure to meet targets and to be, you know, they're moving along a class of 30 students, and there may be individuals who need a little bit more support or who lose their way at the start and then are always trying every lesson to catch up, and they just get to the point where they're catching up, and then they just kind of they think, oh, I'm too far away, and then they give up. and there isn't the net necessarily there to catch them. And you know, you see this far, far too often that, you know, they're disengaged, their focus goes somewhere else, and they really start to struggle. And but they're looking for their purpose and their meaning, and you know, as yes, we all yes. are.
Absolutely. And the key thing I think there is that we've all got such unique potential, and potentially even limitless, that we may not even be aware of, but we've got to kind of tap into these resources. Simon, you mentioned a key tool in your toolkit about motivational mapping. Is that a visual thing? Can you just explain to me?
Yeah. It is a visual thing. It's kind of about making the invisible visible, because if you look at somebody and think, well, what motivates them? Well, you look, just looking at them, you can't really tell. You know, if they're wearing sports clothes, you might think, oh, maybe they're like outdoors, they're not like, but to be honest, we all wear sports clothes nowadays, so it's really, you know, so by looking at somebody, you can't necessarily see what's making them tick in terms of what's motivating them, and also more importantly, how much that motivation is currently being met. So what a motivational map does is an online tool. It's been scientifically validated at all the right levels in order to be able to identify what currently motivates you, and it grades them in 9 different motivators.
Okay.
And it works out what your key motivators are, which are really important. And it also looks at how they're currently being met. Mm-hmm. So it's really useful in lots of different ways. In terms of for individuals, if you're thinking about, I don't know what to do with my life. I'm in this job, but I don't, you know, I don't know really how I got, you know, I'm here, but I'm not really enjoying it anymore. But I don't know where to go to next. Motivational map can look at what your key motivators are, and that can help to start looking at what your next steps might be.
I'm really fascinated by this because it kind of builds into goal orientation, goal setting, and focus. Within this process, I guess it's unique to individuals, but how critical is it that the motivation that we derive and the why of an individual is quite defined? Or when you're going through this initially, is it better to have quite a broad kind of focus? Again, does that depend on the individual?
Yeah, you know, I think people come to me for many, many different reasons in terms of what they want to get over, what they're struggling with, if you like. A common theme is confidence. You know, pretty much, pretty much everybody who is, you know, oh, I wish I just had a bit more confidence. And you know, I wish I had a couple of confidence to give them. But the reality is we gain confidence by doing, and by doing small things and breaking things down and getting breaking through them. Understanding somebody's motivation, understanding the way that people prefer to communicate and process information are key parts of the puzzle in order for them to think, right, okay, now we understand those aspects about you. How can we use those strengths, and they are positions of strength, to move you forward to where you want to be? So if somebody is intrinsically motivated by making a difference, then you've got to think, okay, if that's important to you, how can, when you're looking forward in terms of the next step, how are you going to ensure that you're going to know that you're making a difference? What things might you put in? It might just be asking somebody how they thought it went. We think, well, maybe before that wasn't something they put into place. So it's all, you know, the understanding the person is quite complex, because we can be quite complex people. But understanding those building blocks, if you like, what motivates, well, how we communicate, really enables us to start thinking about what steps it could be that we take to grow that confidence to reach the goals that we want to, that we are keen to achieve.
Just blows my mind, and you know,
yeah,
this incredibly well. Just give me a sense of just how validating it is when you work with individuals, young people, whoever it might be, who have this lack of confidence, and then building on little wins, getting that clarity of focus, literally changed their lives. That must be amazingly rewarding.
It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. You know, I've worked with some amazing people, and when people come to me to start off with, it's an open door. You know, people can come and talk about whatever they want to talk about. It's confidential, so people can open up freely about what it is that they want to achieve or what they want to work on, and it's about taking those small steps, if you like, and taking them alongside them. You know, for me, life coaching is very much about supporting people and where they're at, where their starting point is. And it doesn't really matter where their starting point is, because that's where you are. We can't go back in time. We can only go forward. So it's about supporting where they are. And then it's about encouraging them. You know, all too often we knock ourselves down. How often do we go, oh, I'm stupid. Oh, why did I do that? And we're so quick to be our own critic. And okay, there are some things we can probably do better, but there's a hell of a lot of stuff that we do really well and we don't praise ourselves enough for it. We don't give ourselves a recognition. So it's about doing that in a balanced way and an evidenced way. So it's not about telling people how great they are.
Yeah.
It's about telling people, going, what is it that you do that is great? And we work on that. We build that in so that they recognize the strengths they already have. And then, you know, the last aspect of that is about that challenge.
Yeah.
Because it's all very comfortable, all very nice having a chat, isn't it? Saying, you know, oh, this is good. You're doing that well. It's about kind of like, okay, but that's not where you want to be. You're here, but you want to be there. Okay, so that's when the challenge comes in. That's when it gets a bit tougher. And
then I guess the critical thing there is to actually act, isn't it? It's not enough to just to sort of say, oh, I really want this, or if and only that. The crucial thing that I think many of us miss, and I think you can empower people to achieve, is to then say, right, you've got great skills. You've achieved many, many victories in your life that you may not even be conscious of. Mm-hmm. What are you willing to do next? I think that must be the key thing.
Yeah, because... We all have those things about, oh, I should have done this, or I should do that. And we should all over the place, you know? And I think the fact is, it's about, not about what you should do, it's not about what you could do, it's kind of what you will do. And that it's breaking that down to a reasonable step that you feel comfortable as the first one. Because what happens sometimes is we have these big aspirations. We think, oh, I'm going to have to do all these different things. And it overwhelms our brains. And what we do is when our brain shuts down. So what we decide to do, we do nothing. So it's about kind of right. Okay. It's about focusing down and down and down and down until you actually get to the thing that you know that you can do and that you will do. Mm-hmm. So I contract in with everybody I work with, I contract in with them, with themselves, in terms of how they're actually going to secure that. And that's the difference from trying to say to somebody, oh, I'm going to do this. Well, okay, that's fine. But how are you going to ensure that's going to happen?
But it just snowballs, I suppose, doesn't it? Because then the more you commit to that, the more then you can evidentially see improvements, or at least sense that your goals are getting closer, that sense of confidence increases, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So I guess momentum's an amazing thing within your working world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always speak to people about vicious and virtuous cycles. So yeah, we get into vicious cycles. Well, we think we're not good enough, and then that knocks up confidence, and that causes us to perhaps make wrong decisions or rash decisions, which again lead us to end up on a path we don't want to do, which is makes us lose confidence. And you're in this vicious cycle. And what I want to do is introduce that challenge and that break, if you like, which sometimes has to be quite sharp sometimes, which creates that virtuous cycle where you say you start that small little thing, which builds that little bit of confidence, which makes you think, oh, I could have actually done double that. And then you go off and you start. And then before you know, you kind of like think, wow, look at everything that I've done. Look what I'm able to achieve. It's building that virtuous cycle, and it's putting enough momentum onto that virtuous cycle that, if you hit a few bumps along the way, you know, because life comes along, and sometimes you kind of like you have to deal with stuff. But if you put the momentum is strong enough, you can ride over it and keep it going.
Absolutely. And I just really value what you do and how you are empowering and enriching the lives of so many people. And we also massively appreciate you becoming a member here at Koi Sports, where your support will help many people, particularly in that grassroots context. And I know you've chosen to support Red Way Runners. Looking forward to speaking to Martin Lawrence shortly, but just give me a little bit of an insight into what caused you to offer your support to the Red Way Runners.
Well, I must support Red Way Runners because they've given so much support to me as a runner. You know, I joined them, I can't remember how many years ago now, very much, you know, I did my couch to 5K. I'm very much a social runner. But since joining Red Way Runners, which is such an amazing community in the sense that everybody's welcome, they don't really care about your pace because we've got, you know, there are groups within Red Way Runners for everybody. So that was great. So I could turn up without having to feel I had to be an athlete or talk about my pace. I could just go ahead and do what I could do. But throughout that, throughout my time with Red Way Runners, you know, my running has improved immensely. I've even done a marathon, you know, which I'd never even thought I would ever do. And umpteen half marathons and 10Ks and 5Ks, you know. But I've also, you know, within Red Way Runners, we have beginners programs. And for a fair few years, I helped out with the beginners programs and, you know, just seeing people come along who had never done any exercise since school. And now into their 30s and 40s, I'm thinking, I need to do something. And being part of their journey, it's really great to see. And everybody's going, oh, I'm never going to be able to do this. And then you see them at Park Run running 5K. We don't care how fast they do it, it's irrelevant. But seeing them come through and the smiles on their faces and the disbelief that they've actually done it, you know, that's amazing. And, you know, Red Way Runners supports, you know, anybody who wants to come forward and do that. And, that's why I support them. And we have such a range of different things going on. If you're wanting to get into fitness, if you're wanting to get into running, if you're wanting to find a community of people who are going to support you, you know, they're a great club to be part of.
I really appreciate your passion, and it really is almost the embodiment of what Koi Sports is all about. It's about connecting businesses such as yourself there at Train, Learn, Grow with these community-based opportunities that are really providing and enhancing and enriching society. So that's absolutely fantastic. But coming back, though, to yourself, Simon, and Train, Learn, and Grow, again, 25 years is your kind of body of work. How long has Train, Learn, and Grow been in sort of an entity?
Yeah, we've only been going since 2018. I've been growing my business and expanding my focus and, as you say, adding in different skill sets to offer to different people. So, yeah, that's when I kind of branched out on my own and made my own business, yeah.
But that's amazing, because here's the thing. A lot of people talk as you value your experience, but to actually take that leap yourself and quite literally live the kind of values that you then going to coach people through is really, really commendable. I know an awful lot of people who have aspirations. I know an awful lot of people who talk a jolly good game, and you come back to them in a few months or a few years and it's the same records on, if that makes sense. Was it something that you just knew was the right time for you? Or again, what was that sort of leap of faith moment?
An opportunity came up. My wife wanted to go back to full-time work. She saw a job that she really wanted to do, and she was fortunate to get it. And I thought, well, you know, if now, when? So yeah, and that we kind of switched roles. She could be the main breadwinner, which is great. And it gave me the opportunity then to kind of go out, get qualified as a coach, and then start building my business and doing that now. So yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, that push that I just needed. And
It's so supremely positive and refreshing to really appreciate people such as yourself who really kind of live what you do. And then it's patently clear, as I think Gary Player once remarked, it's funny, the harder I work, the luckier I get. So just really think that's really, really cool. And I know you've got an awful lot of tremendously empowering skills to enrich people's lives, Simon. You've really enriched mine just in this slither of conversation. Where can we go for more information?
You can go to my website, which is www.trainlearngrow.co.uk. You can also find me LinkedIn. If you look up on Train Learn Grow on LinkedIn, you'll find me there, or indeed on Facebook. But yeah, if you go to my website, what you can do is just click the book now button, and you can book a free consultation. So find out how I could work with you, how I could help you, or your son, or your daughter, or member of your family, or your business. As I work with small and medium-sized businesses with motivation and motivating staff. So I think the best thing is, yeah, just drop me a line, or book in a free consultation, and we can explore how I can help you get to wherever you want to get to.
Literally nothing to lose there.
Absolutely.
Have a conversation. If you feel as though there's a good fit, then you could well literally change your life. Simon, could you please remind us all of that website so we can have the opportunity to learn a bit more?
Sure, it's www.trainlearngrow.co.uk.
Awesome. Again, for me, genuinely awesome to enjoy your company. Is there anything you'd like to just crystallize in closing at all?
No, I just to say, come and have a chat. You don't have to commit to anything. It's completely free. Yeah, I'd love to connect with you and see how I might be able to help you.
Perfect. Keep up the tremendous work, Simon. I know that you will. Thank you for joining us on Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. And thank you for your awesome involvement. I know that the whole community down at Redway Runners will massively value all the input there. So thank you once again.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots podcast. Earlier in this, we heard from Simon Billinis from Train, Learn and Grow, and his sponsorship and support is going to a great running club based out in Milton Keynes, who I know he's very passionate about. And to tell us a little bit more about the Redway Runners, we're joined now by Martin Lawrence. Martin, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks, Tony. All's well at the moment,
And
everything.
long may that continue. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, look, it was great to talk with Simon, and I've been fortunate in a different sort of hat on to speak with lots of advocates of running in my time. And one of the things that really comes through was the sense of community. Give me an idea of how that manifests itself, specifically to you guys there down in Milton Keynes at the Redway Runners.
Yeah, I'll probably give you a bit of background about the club, first of all. 10, 11 years ago, I found myself, I wasn't working any longer for a big company down here. I had some time on my hands. So one of the things I used to do when I was at the company was do some lunchtime running. And that's what I was going to miss most of all. So first of all, I joined a local gym, and one of the questions to them was, did they do lots of running? And they told me they did. When I joined, they found they didn't do quite as much as they told me. But I managed to find a few other people in the gym who were quite keen on going running and going out for a run. And so we started going running together. After a while, the group got bigger and bigger. So we thought, let's make it into a formal running club and apply to England Athletics for affiliation. And that's how it all started, just over 10 years ago now. But as soon as we started, I'm not a particularly good runner. I just do it for fitness and for social reasons. As soon as we started it, we found that lots of people wanted to join in. We were worried at first we wouldn't be able to get 10 members, because that's the sort of number we worked out that we needed. yep. to be able to get the club up and running. But very quickly, we got 10 members, and it just grew from there. Very quickly, we were doing morning runs, then we started doing evening runs, then Amazing. Weekend runs, included beginners as well. And over the last, we're now just over 10 years old, and we've now got 2,500 members of the club here up here in Milton Keynes. So we've grown enormously in that time.
Clearly, the running bug is live and kicking then in that neck of the woods. And you mentioned there a couple of three things that are very, very interesting. Obviously, running very dear to your heart, but you embrace everybody, don't you? From literally just people starting up or people looking to ramp it up. Just, again, tease me and tie it in with that sense of community that's so crucial.
Yeah, when we started the club, we had four key things that we thought were important for Redway runners. And they've always been at the heart of what we do. They're being fun, social, value for money. And I say value for money, membership for the club for a year is £5. So ridiculously cheap.
And well, honestly, what can you get for £5 these days? I mean, literally nothing. That's amazing.
I know, coming on for one session, you sort of paid your membership fee, and it would be for the benefit of the runners. So they've always stood there in the centre of it, and we've always found people who want to do things for the club. So we do beginners groups, and pre-COVID, what we do is three sets of beginners groups each time, and usually in January, after Easter, and after the summer in September. And each time we usually have about 10 groups starting, and they can be about 400 people in each of those groups. We're always surprised that we can find the people in Milton Keynes that are keen to come running with us. But we've always tried to keep that fun and social side to the club. So making sure that we're welcoming to people. We don't always get it right. I know, I won't say we always will. But it's in the ethos that we always try to get it right, that people will come and enjoy the club. And a lot of people do say it's changed their lives. And hopefully for the better.
Well, from there where you began 10, 11 years ago to 2,500 runners and members suggests very clearly, Martin, you're doing something pretty special down there. You mentioned the COVID world. We are still in the COVID era, I suppose. Super challenges for everybody. We get that. But I know grassroots sports has had to, you know, be very strongly hit by this. The key trendy word that everybody's kind of working with is pivoting. Just give me an idea of how you've had to pivot and adapt during these challenging times.
Yes, in March 2019, it all sort of came to a sudden grinding halt. Everything we were doing, 60 club runs a week. We were just about to finish our beginners groups, their 10-week program. Everything came to a grinding halt. And at that point, one of the first things I worried about, what are we going to do for the club? We couldn't do club runs because we couldn't meet or go out together. So we tried to put a few things, we tried to support people because it's definitely a community atmosphere to Redway runners. So we put out things like challenges, daily challenges on our Facebook page. We organised Saturday night quiz nights for our group. We did virtual challenges and tried to do as much as possible to try and make people still feel part of the club and try to help people through it as much as we could as we went along. Once the restrictions got lifted, in some ways, I know it's a phrase I don't actually like, but it does actually fit, is to build the club back better. So what we did was some of the things we never quite liked with the club, you know, you think, oh, I'd like to change that, but it's always way down your priority list. We built it back in a better way. So we put more structure around our club runs and how we wanted them to do and make sure they all said pretty much the same thing on the timetable. And we started to get going, and it took a while for people just to feel comfortable to come back. We're getting back to pre-COVID levels nearly now. So, you know, people are getting out and numbers are getting back there. We're getting into 60s and 70s now for a few of our runs that people turn up to. Some other runs will have very low numbers, and they always will. I guess we do a 5 o'clock in the morning run once a week on a Wednesday morning.
That's for the hardcore, is it?
It's definitely for the hardcore. We only get two or three on that, and he goes quite a quick pace, so we won't get many for that one. I don't think we ever will, but a Sunday morning one is always proving quite popular.
I just love the fact that you are doing such an important thing, because, again, this sense of community is so vital. But also, just you know, it's amongst the finest things you can do, I think, is just getting out and going for a run, even if it is just a, you know, a gentle stroll. Good for the body, get those endorphins flowing. And also, you know, you talk to certain sports, and with the greatest will in the world, there are barriers to entry, be that if you just want to go to a gym, be that if you want to, you know, become a member of a certain other organization, you need the equipment, whatever it might be. With running, you know, there is less of that, isn't there, I suppose. So I guess just give me an insight into some of your key benefits that you found personally from your running adventures.
I mean, for me personally, it's a whole series of things. I always say it's quite cheap to go running, but then you only need a pair of shoes, and well, the ladies are sports bra, I don't, but allegedly. It should be quite cheap, but then you start to do other things like, as a club also, we do a couple of overseas trips a year. So we're off to Krakow and Torremolinos to our overseas trips next year. So, but people don't have to go on those. So it's one of those things you can spend as much as you want to on it, but you can just go outside your front door and go for a 3, 4, 10, 15 mile run if you want, you know. From where I live, it's half a mile, and I'm on footpaths and trails in the countryside. But you know, quite often there's a park near you. It's in Milton Keynes, where the club is. You only have a half a mile from a green space.
And so good for the confidence, isn't it? A good friend of mine very recently completed the London Marathon, and a few years back was barely even able to kind of, you know, walk to do the shopping. And to see her confidence build, to see how she's changed as an individual in that time span, just by committing to it and consistently kind of getting involved in her activities, really has been enriching. I guess that must be something that you've witnessed personally too.
Oh, we see that a lot in the club. As I mentioned before, our beginners groups, they go for 10 weeks. And at the end of the 10 weeks, they all do the Milton Keynes 5K park run together. And there's a real sense of achievement and camaraderie in those groups because they worked in their groups together as a team to get there. But after that, you then see people going on to do all sorts of things. And we've got lots of people who've gone through our beginners groups are now doing marathons or gone on to ultras from there or triathlons or just really, it doesn't really matter. As long as they're still running and enjoying themselves, you know, that is the main thing. But, you know, it's fantastic to those who go on to do half marathons and all sorts. It's just such a great feeling, and you know, I think that we as a club have started that journey for them
and facilitate and just continue to do so. I just have so much admiration for it. I think it's so crucial. Grassroots is bandied around as a kind of trendy phrase within sports, but I'm a big believer that all grassroots sports actually represent a vital part of the bigger communities that we all form a part of. And I guess just from the Milton Keynes perspective there, down with you guys at Red Way Runners, do you get a sense of that people are really feeling as though they are a little part or something just a little bit bigger than themselves?
Yeah, we often hear people say they feel they're part of the community and part of the group, really. And we wear a bright green T-shirt, and people generally like to put on the green T-shirt and feel a part of something. Some of the other things that we've been doing as well since we've come out of lockdown is we do these special event runs as well. We have one just recently. We recreated the story 100 years ago of two boxers in a nearby village, Hanslow, who came together to fight about 100 years ago. And we created that whole story as a drama run as well. That creates a great deal of fun. And we've done events as well with our local, international karting track. We took that over for a day, and people run a 5K around the international karting track. So rather than go-karts, we had runners around the track. And that was great fun. We even got the mayor to take part as well.
Amazing. Again, that's it, isn't it? That's that sense of kind of everybody being part of something just a little bit bigger than an individual. I think it's so crucial. And I admire your creativity there. I think that's fantastic. We're not far away from Christmas now. And I know a lot of people, self-included, will be kind of beginning to slightly overindulge, let things slip. I guess if people are eager to learn more about Red Way Runners, I think you've got some big things coming up over the next few weeks, over the festive time. Just give us a sense of what's happening and how we can learn more about you guys.
Yeah, well, as we go towards Christmas, I mean, numbers tend to go down a little bit, but quite naturally as people tend to go into other things. Well, as a club, we've got a Christmas timetable coming up this year. We have a particularly special run on the Sunday before Christmas that we always do, which is a run with the animals. It's a pantomime run with the animals where people dress up in pantomime suits or fancy dress, and it goes through Woburn Safari Parks. We'll often see the lions and the elephants, so that's always good fun. Christmas Day, there's a park run in Milton Keynes and in quite a few park runs around the country. So a lot of our guys will go and do that one on Christmas Day. Well, a lot of the runs will add a bit of fun into them as well. Of course, we're having a Christmas get-together. We're not having a big Christmas meal this year because we don't feel that's quite ready yet with the COVID situation. But we're all meeting in the local Wetherspoons, if I'm allowed to advertise. We're all meeting in local Spoons and having a drink or probably one or two. We've got a park run in pyjamas one day as well going on. So lots going on. Then after Christmas, that's when our numbers will start to ramp up again. People usually start to get the exercise bug. And we also start some beginners groups as well in early January. So if anyone's interested in running and is local to Milton Keynes, they need to get in touch with us. And the best way to get in touch and have a look at what we're doing is go onto our website, which is redwayrunners.com. There's a whole section there on beginners, and it'll have the dates once we get them published.
Fantastic. Hit us up again with that website so we can learn more about the great work community-wise that you guys continue to put in and will do through the coming year. Hit me up again with that website.
Yeah, www.redwayrunners.com.
Fantastic. Martin, joy to be with you. I think you guys are doing awesome things. I'm delighted that the support of people like Simon Billiness, who is a massive believer in what you're all about, will also continue to assist in all your projects. Is there anything final that you'd like to raise or make us aware of at all?
No, I suppose the only thing just to add to it really is a club like Redway. I front the whole club up as being the chair of Redway Runners. But a club like ours, which is so large, we can't do it without all the volunteers that help to lead runs on the committee and everything like that. So, you know, for me, it's thanks to everybody who helps in the clubs and in any sort of sport and makes it happen.
Truly the heartbeat of all our local communities, raising a glass to you all. Martin, awesome to talk with you and just continue to keep up the great work. I know you will. Thanks again for your time just now.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk, and be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.